You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is Monday, August 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite for the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, where you can feel it, Zommers. The vibe is starting to come with the moving in of some of the students. The University of Wisconsin-Madison, you can see more students around. The vibe is coming back. The city comes back to life at the end of August.
That it does. Although showing the Sam Davison street cam, you wouldn't know it from this image. It's just unfortunate timing.
Things are quiet because we're getting some rain downtown Madison here as we take a look out on the Sam Davison street cam downtown Madison. A couple of cars going by at Fairchild and State. Now there comes a group of people. They have bags in hand. Looks like they may have gotten some pack. It looks like if I were to anticipate here, it looks like a mom and dad. It looks like maybe their son is a student here. They're carrying a lot of different packages. So it's that time of getting the kids settled in. Now, my sister and brother-in-law are taking my favorite youngest niece, Isabel, to the University of Wisconsin Stout next weekend to get her all settled in over at Stout. So our own family is going through that. It's that time of year when it's time to get the kids settled in. So salute, salutations, shout out to all the parents getting their kids on their way back to college. And salute to the kids, too. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. Saw my friends Jonathan, Allison, Klein last night, their oldest child, Lauren, getting ready to come here to the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Exciting stuff.
A little scary, but also very exciting. So
I'm sure that I will never forget the first day when I moved in to college and you started meeting people and everyone's a little nervous, everyone's a little excited. It's just,
Yeah, lots of emotions, lots of good times going on. Weather forecast, rain throughout Wisconsin today, hopefully not too much, particularly for our friends in southeast Wisconsin who have gone through way more flooding than anyone deserves. So keep the weather tuned here. We'll update you on that. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, talk to one of the staff attorneys at Clean Wisconsin about, and this is very interesting, about the pipeline, Line 5 pipeline, that's scheduled to begin up in Ashland, Wisconsin, and what the ramifications, implications are of that as they continue to take public testimony. Your chance to have your voice heard on this. We'll talk to Evan from Clean Wisconsin at the bottom of the hour. I have a What's Worse coming up for you as well. First, on many of our stations over the air, not on the stream, but over the air, Milwaukee Brewers baseball, doubleheader against the Chicago Cubs, up for grabs, the NL Central. Well, Brewers currently have an 8-game lead, but 5-game series against the Cubs starting today. I can tell you that right now on many of our Brewers stations, the Cubs are up. Pardon me, the Brewers, good gosh, Todd. The Brewers are up over the Cubs right now by a score of 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth. 3-0, bottom of the sixth. Milwaukee on top of the Cubs. We'll see if that can hold. And the Brewers could go to 9 games. The nightcap is set for a little bit later this evening. You can hear that on the Civic Media Radio Network. Also, I want to get to, again, just to repeat kind of the top story of the day. Earlier in the day, President Donald Trump holding a press conference, a gaggle, as they call it, a news gaggle, the Oval Office with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, kind of a nothing burger, if you want to be honest, on the news on Ukraine. The real news, Trump tried to make a joke about not having elections in 2028 if the United States were at war like Ukraine is now. And then going on, no joke at all, making it very clear, Trump did, that he is working on and intends to sign an executive order which would ban mail-in voting in the United States of America, freely saying that, hey, if we don't have mail-in voting, it makes it hard for Democrats to win. Trump said that. Why, of course? Because Democrats tend to use that form of voting more than Republicans for whatever reason. Republican Party Chairman of Wisconsin, Brian Schimming, last year said, hey, we got to do better on this, and made it, and I saluted him and said, hey, good. I want everybody who's legally eligible, every citizen, to vote. And now Schimming's own president, head of the Republican Party, saying he thinks that mail-in voting is quote-unquote corrupt. Also making headlines, according to the Associated Press today, the conservative network Newsmax, will pay $67 million to settle a lawsuit accusing it of defaming a voting equipment company by spreading lies about President Donald Trump's 2020 election loss, according to documents filed today. The settlement comes after Fox News Channel paid $787.5 million to settle a similar lawsuit in 2023, and Newsmax paid what the court papers described as $40 million to settle a libel lawsuit from a different voting machine manufacturer, Smartmatic, who is also the target of pro-Trump conspiracy theories on the network. Delaware Superior Court Judge Eric Davis had ruled earlier that Newsmax did indeed defame, i.e. lied, about Denver-based Dominion voting systems by airing false information about the company and its equipment. Again, when places like Fox and Newsmax are put under oath in a court of law, with the penalty being jail time, people tend to tell the truth. Turns out. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac has been enormously patient. Mark, always appreciate your listenership. Thanks for holding on. What do you want to say?
Yeah, what does Trump plan on invading Canada or Mexico or Greenland so he has a little war so he can say, well, we don't need any elections? And it just is, it's pretty disgusting that the man is coming on and say this. Does he think he's bloody Sulla or Caesar? Both of whom the founders would know what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
That because both of them were Roman dictators, and and the founders were concerned about a dictator. I mean, how the Supreme Court came up with this idea of immunity for the president is just beyond me, because even I could point out to them how full of rat manure that they are on that particular issue, because, right. And I'm not as I've said in the past, I am not a constitutional scholar.
Right.
But when you actually read in the Federalist Papers, the president would be amenable to punishment and disgrace, and actually you could actually impeach a president for high crimes and misdemeanors in the Constitution itself. It means the man is not immune.
Yeah.
So how they came up with this stuff, other than that they think there should be a dictator, and I wonder how long, with this kind of nonsense going on, how long that we don't decline to a taste where the president has to have a taste or taste in all his food, and some of these people need to worry about getting poisoned. I mean, because that's what happens.
Well, he just hung out with collapse. Putin, right? Hung out with Putin. That stuff happens over there all the time.
Yeah, certainly. Fall out the window.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if it feels stuffy in a meeting with Putin, don't open a window. That's the only advice I can give you. Sure. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you holding. Appreciate the call. We're going to continue to follow this because, and if there's any good that came out of this White House meeting today, it's that Trump said the quiet part out loud on the record, that he feels if you have mail-in voting, Democrats are going to more likely win. Gee, I wonder why that is. Because Trump himself spent all kinds of time in the first administration saying that, you know, don't do mail-in voting, it was rigged. And then somebody got in his ear and said, wait a minute, if you want to win, we actually need to do mail-in voting. And so Brian Schimming, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and others said, hey, we got to get our folks out there too. And you know what? They did. Not as much maybe as Democrats, but if you look at the results, a lot more Republicans voted early and voted in mail-in balloting. And that was part, not all, but part of the reason that Donald Trump got a second term. And now he wants to do away with it for the midterm elections coming up next year. It's 15 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved. It's just your chance to have your voice heard across all 10-ish news, talk, and sports. I say 10-ish because some of the stations are airing Milwaukee Brewers baseball over the terrestrial radio signal.
Right. So normally you'll be on 10 stations.
Right.
Today, a couple less.
A couple, three or four. I don't know. And across everywhere on the stream. All right, here we go. Timely, timely indeed. As Mike Lucas is fond of saying in the Capital Times, a lot of people, no joke at all, of course, a lot of our listeners, particularly in southeast Wisconsin, well, some in southwest, quite frankly, as well, cleaning up for that terrible flooding, and boy, that's no fun at all. But aside from that, aside from tragedy and emergency cleaning, it's kind of the time of year where people are like, well, it's starting to cool off a little bit. I got to clean out the garage before winter. So today's category, what's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? Cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse? Cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage?
And the we have a very evocative image here of a fridge containing, I mean, it doesn't look like the worst fridge I've ever seen. It at least looks like there's not food spilled everywhere, but there are a lot of products that are, I'm sure, expired. Meanwhile, the garage, it looks like you're sorting for a rummage sale.
Well, which we've all been there, I think. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? 855-752-4842. Or you could text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it, your Apple or Android device today. Just go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, takes less than a minute to download. It is free. It's what CBS's Gayle King calls a deal. The way things are going at CBS, maybe we can get Gayle King at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe. That'd be great. I'd love to have her as a co-host of this show. 855-752-4842. Go to the phone line. CJ in beautiful Stoughton, Wisconsin. CJ, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? What's worse?
Well, I like cleaning by eating the leftovers. And,
do you really?
Oh, I love leftovers.
On the door.
Gino's lasagna. Gino's lasagna, 3 days later, it gets better and better.
I would agree with that. That
garage,
and chili.
I'm in all the time. I love working in the garage. So
really? Do you have like a workshop?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's I have it on four wheels, too, loaded with tools.
All right. Well, very good.
Thank you for taking my call, Todd. And yeah, I mean, that's that question. But, you know, as you speak of the world peacemaker, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, as he tries to end Joe Biden's war, I think the mail-in balloting, yeah, we need to go to single-day balloting. And if you're going to not be able to vote, that should be held to the military.
Thanks for the opinion, CJ. Up against the clock. Come on back. What's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? On the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Zommers, where did you find that?
That's a Weird Al, Living in the Fridge, a parody of an Aerosmith song.
I had never heard that one before.
I can't say I've heard that one before either.
And I'm traditionally not a huge Weird Al fan, but that one's pretty good.
He's got some good ones.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, right in the middle of What's Worse. Today's category, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage. What's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Henry, listening on WMDX in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, says cleaning the garage is worse because you never know when you're done. That's kind of true, right? Like, if you have, it's like, well, I can, I end up moving things around. I don't have my own garage proper anymore. But what I did, it was like move things to one side, then move to the other. So, like, I really need, I want to keep this, right? So 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cam in Appleton, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, says, I'd rather the garage be cleaned. I get to sing and dance there. Well, that's true, right? You can move around more, I suppose, when you clean the garage. Jim in beautiful Brookfield says cleaning the garage is worse because it's hot and dusty. I also have a wife who cleans the fridge and has creative ways to use leftovers. Okay. That's fantastic. Off the online streaming services, we have PJ watching on YouTube. PJ, thank you so much. Says the fridge, because I go in there more times per day. So that's worse to clean the fridge because he's going in there more often. Jerry Perry, our friend Jeff Perry, friend and ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, for me, the worst is cleaning the fridge in the garage. Thank you very much. Yeah, very good. But no, there's a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's a Richland Center thing. But a lot of people I know still do. You have the garage refrigerator. And it's where Zomers is looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, that's not the intent.
Oh, because you have some people keep their beer out there, right, or their soda. It's great for holidays when you got like a bunch of desserts refrigerated or leftovers, and you put them in the garage fridge. And usually it's an older refrigerator that doesn't work great,
right,
but it's good enough for a garage fridge.
Exactly. That, I feel like that's the most common garage fridge. You know, it's got the beer, it's got the soda, it's got your extra meats.
Your extra meats.
Well, that's the garage freezer.
That's the garage
freezer. Like the old chest freezer has got all your, 100%. Your, from the local meat locker.
Right.
No, maybe some pizzas.
I got to go down to Monroe next week and mow some grass, and I'm going to have a garage refrigerator beer after I'm done.
That's the best kind.
I'll report back. 855-752-4842. Heather, watching on Facebook up there, beautiful Eau Claire, WCFW The Tap. Heather says, oh boy. Tough one. At the moment, the garage equals half of a classroom, a leftover graduation party, boxes, staging area for college dorm room, camper transfer. As you know, Todd, there's a lot going on here. It's my sister. They have a lot going on. We don't have time. We literally don't have time to get into their garage situation. It's a lot. As Miguel Vega once said, that's a lot. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Zomers, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? What's worse?
I think it depends whose fridge and whose garage. I know that it depends is always the worst answer for these. But if it is my parents' house, cleaning the garage is worse because there's a lot of stuff in there. Like a lot. meanwhile, if it's my place, I'm in a townhouse, so I do have a proper garage. However, we don't have a lot of stuff in it, so cleaning the fridge is definitely worse because, you know, there might be something spilled that you actually have to clean.
That's the part that gets me. Yeah. If something spilled in the back and you got to scrub that up and you got to take things out, go ahead.
If something spilled in the garage, you just, like, mop it or something. Right. Like, whereas if something spilled in the fridge, it's a whole process.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. What's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage? Tom on the text line out of New Berlin. Listening on WAUK. That's something else on a caller. Judy, listening in Lodi on WMDX. Cleaning the fridge is worse. You don't know what you're going to find in there. There's a lot of truth to that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever opened the fridge and you smell something and you can't find it?
Yeah, that's the worst.
I know. And then it ends up being like, I don't know, like a small bottle of milk or something, or like you bought a Cool Whip or whipping cream, and a little pint container, and somehow it got behind like the beer and something else that you normally keep in there, and it got stuffed in the back of you, and then, oh.
I feel like that's a common culprit. Yeah, the whipping cream, because you don't use that much at a time, and you don't always use it like every week or whatever.
Or cheese you put in a baggie and then it gets covered up. I don't know. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, cleaning the fridge or cleaning the garage?
So are you officially agreeing with me and saying that cleaning the fridge is worse?
Quickly, Brett in Brown Deer says, I have OCD. I love cleaning them both.
Fair enough.
I don't know. It's such a tough one. I'm going to say cleaning. I don't know why. I'm going to say cleaning the fridge is worse. I want to say cleaning the garage because it's such a bigger space and you have to set more time aside for it. But I don't know. I feel like once I'm cleaning the garage, it can be kind of fun because like, oh, right. I forgot about that. Where cleaning the fridge is, the only part that's good about it is when you're done, you're like, oh, that looks and smells so much better. Not that my fridge gets really stinky that often, but it's just, I don't know. And then I always end up throwing things away that I should have used. It's like, I paid $8 for that. Yes, that's it. I feel worse about myself. You'll feel better after our farm update from Pam Yonke, and then come back and talk about Line 5 Pipeline on the other side. It's the All Balls Show for a Monday. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35, now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Monday, August 18th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zomers on the board. Could give you an update over the air on many of our stations across the Civic Media Radio Network on the Brewers Radio Network. Brewers kicking off an important, critical 5-game series against the Cubs in Chicago this afternoon. Can tell you the top of the 8th inning. Brewers 3, Cubs nothing. How about that? Hopefully the Brewers can hang on. Would go up to 9 games lead on the Brewers in the NL Central. If they could do that, can listen to over the air on many of these stations. Richland Center, Oshkosh, Hayward. Also down in Racine, Kenosha on the Brewers Radio Network. Second game, they had a rainout earlier in the season, so it's a doubleheader today. Second game later on this evening on many of these fine stations as well. Brewers 3, Cubs nothing in the top of the 8th. Right now, I want to turn our attention to another environmental issue. It's a theme here on the show today, conservation, environmental issues. We have at our desk once again here in studio, the world headquarters in Madison, Evan Feinhauer, who is the staff attorney of Clean Wisconsin. Evan, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's great to be here, and I'm glad to get Brewers updates just mixed in. This is great.
Are you a Brewers fan?
Or? I am. I was watching the score before I came here, so
that's crazy.
It was good to get updates.
This run they've had, unfortunately, they, you know, all good things have to come to an end, but an exciting weekend series.
Of course.
Yeah. We're not here just to talk to sports. There are other things that we're interested in here on the show as well. Conservation. And this is one of the things I love talking about because, to me, as somebody who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin and traveled all over the state, it's one of these things that should bind us together across party lines, ideally, because it doesn't matter whether you're a hunter or a bird watcher or a hiker or a kayaker. If we don't have a good environment in which to do all these things, we're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's the quintessential thing that you don't miss until it's gone.
Yeah, 100%. Before we get into this, we always like to have people tell us a little bit about themselves. Evan, you are no exception. So where did you grow up and how did you get into conservation and the law?
Well, I am from Wisconsin, hence being a Brewers fan. I grew up in Amarillo, Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
So East Central, just a little bit west of Oshkosh, for those not familiar. Grew up in the countryside, where unbeknownst to me, I was being raised to care a lot about the environment by my dad and my grandpa and other people that cared about birding and trees and natural prairie and all these things, wildflowers, native plants, all this stuff. So I come by it naturally. And then as I got older, I went to college here in Madison, went to UW, and then went on to law school in Chicago. Was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I never wanted to work at a law firm. I wanted to do some kind of public interest law, and I started working in the environmental clinic at the University of Chicago Law School. Fell in love with that and just loved the work, loved the people that are in this fight, and I've been doing it ever since.
Really cool. So what led you to Clean Wisconsin then?
Yeah, so right out of law school, I had a fellowship. I worked at the Natural Resources Defense Council in Chicago doing work related to the Flint lead in water crisis. After that, when my fellowship ended, a job opened up, very lucky for me, here in Madison at Clean Wisconsin, in the staff attorney position. I applied. I've been working there since January 2017. So it's a little bit over 8 years now, I guess.
For folks that might not be familiar across the state, we're a statewide program. Tell us a little bit about Clean Wisconsin, the organization, what your key work is.
Yeah, so Clean Wisconsin has been around since 1970. It was perhaps ambitiously entitled Wisconsin's Environmental Decade originally.
I remember that.
Yeah. So
I'm old enough to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that there was an idea that 10 years was all it would take, which was not the case. And then it was renamed, rebranded, whatever you want to call it, Clean Wisconsin, at some point, I think, in the early aughts. And we are a statewide organization. We have members across the state. We have scientists on staff. We have lawyers on staff like myself. We have lobbyists, subject matter experts in water, air pollution, everything. So we try to be effective by being in the courts like I do sometimes, but also up at the Capitol, working with state agencies to pass good rules, do outreach to local communities. We really try to be kind of full spectrum, do all the things, touch all the people across the state on environmental issues.
We're speaking with Evan Feinhauer, who is the staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin. Evan, talk to us about this issue called Line 5 Pipeline. I think it's kind of ambiguous, and people are like, what the heck is that? Talk to us a little bit about what Line 5 Pipeline is and why Wisconsinites should be concerned about it.
Yeah, so the Line 5 pipeline has been around since the 1950s. It goes through northern Wisconsin. It starts west of that in Minnesota, cuts across northern Wisconsin, goes through the UP, down into Michigan, lower Michigan, and then into Canada. And this is a pipeline section that is primarily intended and does carry oils from Canada through the United States and back into Canada. Some of it gets let off at facilities in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, some in Michigan, and then most of it ends up in Canada. The line is currently owned by Enbridge, which is a Canadian transnational corporation. They aren't the ones who originally built it, but they own it and operate it now. What's happened is a number of years ago, the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa did not want to renew easements to have the existing line go across their reservation for environmental reasons and concerns that they had that the line might fail, causing a rupture and other ecological impacts. So they said, we're not going to renew the easements. That resulted in a bunch of federal litigation and federal court, actually very close to where we're sitting right now in the Western District, ordered the Enbridge to get off their land by sometime next year in 2026. So Enbridge then initiated a plan to build what's called the reroute. So now you can imagine it's sort of like a U-shape that goes down and underneath the reservation and connects with the rest of the existing Line 5. So this was seen as, I think, by Enbridge as a solution to the problem of going around the band's property. But from their perspective, it's not, because it's still in the watershed. If there's an oil spill, it'll still completely wipe out the ecosystem where they live. And it's also going to mean a 41-mile stretch of new pipeline through major sections of northern Wisconsin, which are untouched, undeveloped, and relatively pristine from an environmental perspective.
One of the things that I was very fortunate, my time working at the Capitol for former Senator Dale Schultz, was he was the a co-chair for a while of the Tribal State Relations Board, and had a lot of chances to have meetings on tribes' lands and get to listen and understand their concerns. One of the things, and talk to us a little bit about this in terms of Line 5, one of the things I learned, particularly when on mining issues back at that time, that many of these lands that you're talking about, you mentioned the watershed. And I think some people are going to say, well, okay, fine, the pipes going around that. What's the big deal? These tribal lands, these waters, are essentially their churches, their temples. These are religious purposes, these rice fields that have very sacred meaning to them. And so I would encourage Wisconsinites to say, hey, if a company said, we want to build a pipeline through your church, how would you feel? Is that an overreaction to that?
I don't think so. I am, like you, somebody who's had to do a lot of self-education on this. I was just up in the reservation last week meeting with attorneys representing the Bad River Band, and I got a chance to go to – they have a cultural museum there on the reservation, and it was, you know, really interesting. I learned a lot, but it's also very moving to see these portraits of their life ways and their customs that go back decades and generations, and those include things like harvesting wild rice from these wild rice beds that are really the most precious and some pretty rare in the Great Lakes. They're the biggest. They're very proud of them, I think, with good reason. And I think that that's something that we should all be sensitive to for cultural reasons, as you mentioned. And it also just points to the tie-in between how we live our lives and the quality of the environment. The pipeline that they want to build, the new section, would be sort of upriver, if you will, of the reservation. So if there were a spill or if there was release of sediment or anything from construction or any kind of water quality impact, it would proceed down gradient. And there are wetlands of national and international significance. They're what's called Ramsar wetlands, the Kakugan sloughs. These are really precious resources that would be directly at risk if anything went wrong.
I think it's a great way to explain it. And again, I would encourage Wisconsinites to put it, you know, think of your favorite fishing spot or your favorite hunting spot. And if that were put in danger, how would you feel about this, let alone the cultural and religious aspects for it? Again, we're talking with Evan Feinhauer, the staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin, on this Line 5 pipeline that's being proposed, a reroute in northern Wisconsin. What do you say to folks that are like, well, this is the old NIMBY, you know, not in my backyard, you know, this, that we have to have energy, even if you're a pro, you know, alternative energy person, that's, we're not there yet, we need oil. Where do you put it if not here? What's your response to that type of reaction?
Yeah, I have a couple different responses. So first is the way our law is written is intended to protect our resources from development, kind of no matter what the development is. So if you're in the state of Wisconsin and you want to fill in or impact a wetlands or cross a stream or a river, you got to get certain permits from the Department of Natural Resources. And the way our law is written, thankfully, it doesn't say, well, you can only get a permit of X, Y, and Z, unless you want to build an oil pipeline, in which case you have an exemption. It doesn't say that. And so to some extent, the first thing I want to say is, you know, great, if Enbridge wants to do this, they can, but they have to meet the same standards as everybody else. And those standards want to make sure that when you're done with your project, the water resources are in no worse condition. And there's some verbiage around this that the lawyers will use, you know, wetland functional values and these things. But we just don't think they've met that standard. We think DNR made a mistake by issuing the permits. And I think it's important because I don't think we want a standard that slides up and down based on how socially important or economically important we think the development is. And if we want them, then the legislature has to pass a law that says that, and they haven't done that. So to me, it's kind of just like that's not what the law is. The other piece of it, though, I think what you're getting at is with this point about we're not there yet, we still use oil and gas. I think that one of Enbridge's things that they're very clearly keen on is they want to make it seem like we have to build this pipeline reroute. Otherwise, everything will grind to a halt. Mm-hmm. And I think many of their statements in that regard are overstated. And, you know, I'm not an oil man. As I mentioned, I grew up in central Wisconsin, which is low on oil. But just reading the record and the other experts, there's sort of been a bunch of competing experts who have weighed in on this over the years. And there seems to be a legitimate question about what would be the economic impacts. Would there be other ways of getting the oil to market? To me, it's a little bit besides the point for the purpose of the question is, should Wisconsin bear the risk and the ecological damage that this company can stick a pipeline through our state?
Couple of quick follow-up questions here before the break. We'll come back and finish it up after that. But A, am I correct in saying that the oil, the product that flows through this pipeline, none of that stops in Wisconsin? At least there's no direct – people aren't – that stuff isn't going from there into gas stations in Oconomowoc or Oshkosh.
No, what most of the way that these products would end up in Wisconsin markets is in the form of propane, but it's a relatively modest mix of the state's propane sources.
So it's kind of asking, is it overstated to say that Wisconsin's being asked to take the risk in our resources for very little return directly to people that might consume things?
I think that's fair, and I would say I think that's generally true of all of these things that are fossil fuel pains that we feel to get no benefit because we don't have coal in Wisconsin, we don't have oil, we don't have gas. And so whenever there's things that we're suffering because of fossil fuels, we're not just suffering health and environmental impacts, we're also sending money outside of our state's borders.
You mentioned that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources already approved some of these things. My question was this under a DNR secretary and administration of Governor Evers or Governor Walker?
Well, this just happened. This happened in December of last year. So this was when Evers was the governor, And yes, they issued the permits late last year after a pretty long process of looking at it because they did something called an environmental impact statement. They issued the permits, and then my group and others filed the lawsuit.
I find that very, very interesting because I think the stereotype out there is, oh, well, Democrats would never approve something like this and let it go through. Here you have a Democratic administration, Tony Evers, and you know, as people at Clean Wisconsin, have you guys, is there a money looking at who's making it? Well, the music's coming up. We'll wait. We'll get the answer. That's what they call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. We'll find out from our guest here at the table, Evan Feinhauer, staff attorney for Clean Wisconsin. Always follow the money. That's what I learned when I worked up the street at the building. Come on back. We'll find out the answer to that and more. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin. Brewers up 7-0 in the 8th in Chicago. Come on back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a check of weather. Rain continues for parts of Wisconsin into the evening. And then our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, in with a sports report. We'll do one of our own right now, Zommers, can tell you it's the top of the ninth. And the Brewers are up 7-0. Over the Chicago Cubs in game one of a doubleheader. You can hear the second game a little bit later this evening. Starts with a 6:30 pregame show. 7 o'clock or thereafter, the first pitch as the Brewers take on the Cubs in the second of a doubleheader. You can hear it on RCE in Richland Center, ISS in Oshkosh, RJN, Racine, Kenosha, CQM in beautiful Park Falls, our newest Brewers affiliate. The Buzz of the North, WBZH, in Hayward, Wisconsin. We'll continue to monitor that. Sitting here at the table, the world headquarters in downtown Madison with a fellow Brewer fan, he is Evan Feinhauer, the staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin. Good news, Evan, for the Brewers.
Of course. I'm excited.
That's good news. Not so good news if we're concerned about Wisconsin's environment. We're talking about this Line 5 pipeline. Really interesting work at Clean Wisconsin. I appreciate you coming on the show. I wanted to follow up on this question I started beforehand, and I think it's important for listeners and viewers to understand this was approved by the DNR recently under the Tony Evers administration. I think a lot of people think, well, how could that happen? As someone who spent a lot of time in politics, I learned to follow the money. Have you at Clean Wisconsin done this? Is there been a lot of money from these interests in the industry to the Evers campaign or Evers administration?
The thing that's interesting is I think people think that somebody in my job as an environmental lawyer would be focused on those kind of issues. But the answer, I think, is a lot more boring in terms of what my work looks like, which is I focus on what the statutes say and all the information the agency's given, and it's way nerdier than that. And I think it would be in some ways fun if we had some fun, theory about money changing hands. But I think really what this is about is they apply for these permits and it puts the department in a tough spot. I don't think they want to say no. I think that's true no matter who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And so I think what they do is they try to be really diligent and do their best under tough circumstances and with limited resources. And they don't always get there. And then I think they really want to get to yes, even if maybe they feel like they should say no. And this was one of the times when they should have said no. And I think they said yes. And what they often do is they'll say, here's your permit, and we've loaded it up with conditions that make it clear that you can't harm the environment from our point of view. And then you look at the conditions, and you're like, this looks more like it's DNR feeling good about the product it put out than necessarily always protecting the environment. Sometimes the conditions are great, and there's no problem. But this was a situation where I think what happened is they were trying to get to yes. They're going to load it up with these conditions and then hope that kind of cross their fingers and hope nothing goes wrong. And then that way they can say, we let the development proceed and we protected the environment. We have our cake, we eat it too. The problem as an environmentalist is there's just things that sometimes should be no's. Mm-hmm. They should be denials. Everything can't be a yes, but. Sometimes right. The answer just needs to be no. And so I think the simpler, less interesting answer is that I think these agencies have a lot of inertia to get to yes because they don't want to be in the way of infrastructure that's deemed important by the person who wants to make a bunch of money by building the infrastructure.
Let's get to the lawsuit itself that you're a part of here, and let's talk a little bit about the value of water resources, which I think during the break you said is really the crux of this, mm-hmm. of what you're fighting on.
Yeah, so it's important to emphasize that this challenge is a challenge to permits to impact water resources, wetlands and waterways in particular. And one of the things that's awesome about Wisconsin is that we require you to get a permit anytime you're going to impact a wetland, with some exceptions. But here, you have to meet strong standards because we've come to understand how valuable wetlands are in terms of reducing the severity of floods, providing habitat, keeping our water clean, making sure the surface to groundwater flow is normal in the way it's supposed to be. And it sets a pretty high bar. And here, that's super relevant because we're not talking about, you know, a puddle in a degraded farm field somewhere that's been super developed. We're talking about northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about places where you go out there and you look and there's not a single invasive species. And it looks like, I mean, it's hard to even get to some of these places on foot, you know. You got to trudge through a bunch of wilderness with waders on, and you got to wear mosquito nets because the bugs, yeah. I mean, it's, these are places that haven't been touched by man. Yeah. And so it's important to emphasize, we got not that many of these places left, and we should be really, really protective of the ones we have and hold everybody to a super high bar if they're going to come in and dredge and blast and tunnel through these places.
I agree. It's such an important point that once these places like this are gone, you're never going to get them back. It's just, it's, or at least very, very difficult in a generation.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that the parties are disagreeing about. You know, that's one of, that's our position is you're going to impact these places and you're not going to be able to put them back together again. And Enbridge says, no, we have a plan. We'll come in here, we'll tear it all up, but then Humpty Dumpty will go back together again and we'll be okay. And we're skeptical that that's the case. And that's a big, big dispute in the case.
Assuming it's cleanwater.org, yes. cleanwisconsin.org. Really important. People can still have time to put public testimony in right now, continuing through October, I see, and people can email in or they have to show up, or how do they get involved?
Well, unfortunately, if you wanted to testify, the deadline for that actually would have been last week. So
it doesn't continue into October? All right.
No, we still have a live testimony component in October, but the judge set a requirement that folks had to show up on through the link last week and do
Got
that.
It.
So that's been closed, okay. Unfortunately.
So
We gave you bad information.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just, I can't read very well. But people can, if they wanted to, go to cleanwisconsin.org and make a donation to the cause.
Well, I would never say no to that.
and stay informed, because I think, you know, people explaining things in real terms like you've done today, I really appreciate that. The more we understand what's going on, the more we can build coalitions to preserve Wisconsin's resources, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much, Evan Feinhauer, the staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin. Thanks for coming in today. Thanks for all the great work you're doing, and go crew.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Thanks.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Again, 7-0 right now in the top, pardon me, the bottom of the ninth. Crew trying to get one and a doubleheader later on. Todd Allball say, we'll see you tomorrow. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.